Pele leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to my new podcast. You are now on the hook with Abner Mattis. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of On the Hook with Abner Mattis. And also, not just Abner Mattis, today we got a special guest and a dear friend of mine. Really good friend, mi hermano, my brother, I call him, been knowing him for many years. He's been part of my life, part of my career. I want to introduce you guys to Luis Garcia, who was and is my conditioning coach and has been for a little bit past over 10 years. Luis Garcia, who also trained Amir Khan. He trained the likes of Andre Berto, Andre Ward, the best conditioning coach hands down that I could say that I have met. I have gone through a few, but Luis Garcia, one of the best. He knows his game. So without further ado, Luis Garcia in the house. What's going on, Luis?
Yo, hey everybody, what's up, man? With that kind of an introduction, man, what else can I say, man? I guess now I'm speechless, man. Now I'm blushing at this point. So thanks a lot, Abner, man. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
And listen, I'm bragging because there's bunch of conditioning coaches, bro, and especially now during this time, they just came out of nowhere, bro. Like, they think they know it all just because they read a book, you know. They know, like, oh, I know the ins and outs. No, a strength conditioning coach, yes, there's many and there's good ones, but a strength conditioning coach for a boxer, not that many. And I can say that you are one of the best, if not the best, bro. Because you were a boxer yourself. You trained yourself. You've been in the ring. You know the sport. Just the connection, the communication that you have with the coach during you training me, that's key. So tell us a little bit about the mistakes, you know, just brag about yourself. Tell us, you know, what mistakes a lot of these conditioning coaches make.
Well, I think you know, you touched on something that's really difficult as a conditioning coach. And, you know, even for someone like me that's been in the sport for so many years and knowing boxing so well from an athlete level and also from a conditioning coach level and also as a boxing coach, because that's something I've I can also do, but yeah. I just always left it to the coach. And sometimes you infringe on some of those conversations with the coach, and sometimes they don't like it, you know. Sometimes it's something that like, you know, I've
stay in your lane, right?
Yeah, stay in your lane. So for most conditioning coaches, stay in your lane. For me, it's a different story. But right. I think all that is part of it. And you know, it's funny, I was talking to a friend of ours, you know, and our dentist, you know, and, okay. and we had a good heart.
Shout him out.
Dr. Amir Wahab.
Dr. Amir Wahab, man. Yeah. Look at this smile, man. This is $1 million smile.
I know, $2 million smile. I mean, that's $2 million.
Dr. Amir Wahab, man. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a good dude. And you know, we had a really honest conversation talking about, like, hey, man, like, because he's a popular dentist and he's made a name for himself, especially here in Beverly Hills. And talking about just applied science, you know, it's like we pick up, you touch on something when you pick up a book and you read some stuff and now it's how do you apply it? And it's just like, hey, when you went to school, you know, how much of that stuff did you actually apply? He's like, you know, what, 10-15%? I'm like, man, I think maybe 20 on the high end for me, and only because I love my books. He's like, man, sometimes I learn more from YouTube, you know, and it's funny, you know, because
that's the new generation. That's true.
It actually is. You know, it's like you have access to so much other information. And just because the information is in front of you on YouTube, it's just how you dissect it and how you understand and weed through the bad information and weed through the good information, you know. So there's a lot of that. But going back to, like, you know, just, you know, the trajectory of someone becoming a conditioning coach, and a lot of people think, you know, some of these fighters do have great physiques, you know, you know, and other fighters don't have great physiques, and doesn't mean they're not in shape. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Julio Cesar Chavez was not known for having
Mikey Garcia. Physique.
Mikey Garcia doesn't have a great physique, you know, and, you know, not
Leo Santa Cruz. I mean, a lot of these guys,
I mean,
Leo's ripped,
he's on the thinner side and stuff. And, and you may not think much of it, you know, but sometimes these fitness conditioning coaches, they call themselves, they come from the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. And they may have, you know, some good certifications, you know, and they're great certifications. Yeah. I've taken them and I've retaken them. But it a lot of times, like, that physique doesn't always transfer to performance. And, mm-hmm. and that's one thing you have to understand. So it's like, what are you looking for? You're looking for this physique, or you're looking for this performance, you know? And it's funny. I had that conversation with Robert Garcia, cause I was on the other side of this fight where he was talking about, De La Hoya versus Vargas. And he was talking about how we obviously know the outcome of the fight. And
how big he was,
and you know we know the whole like performance enhancement, the PEDs, you know, mm-hmm. that came out after the fight. But the one funny thing that he said about this camp is that Vargas was so intent on looking good that he stopped focusing on the fight, you know, and stopped focusing on his performance, and it showed. He looked tight. He looked, you know, he looked like he couldn't get his punches off. He looked like, I mean, so many things were happening, but his physique looked great, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times that physique doesn't always transfer to performance, you know? It's just like, hey, you're looking for one thing or another thing, you know? It's like, and sometimes most of our work, and you know it, most of our work sometimes is not working out and recovering in between
exactly. trainings. Thank you, know? You bro. That's that. And, what percentage do you think recovery is, bro? Because a lot of people think that, you know, they skip that. You know, a lot of people just want to be in the gym. You know, sometimes you overtrain yourself, but recovery is key, man. And I learned that with you.
Yeah. So that's like a really, really key thing. There's such thing as overtraining, and then there's also such thing as just under recovery, you know, like, I mean, mm-hmm. like you're not recovering enough. You're not doing the prehab. You're not doing all that recovery work that needs to happen. It could be something as simple as, hey, like extracurricular activities, you know, like where you're doing other things in between trainings that and you're not resting. It's just like, man, like your body just went through a car wreck. Every time mm-hmm. you got in the ring and sparred, you went through a fucking car wreck. I'm sorry, excuse my language.
No, go ahead, man.
But you went through a car wreck, so you need to go home and give your body that rest, or even just a training. Yeah. You know, your body doesn't know that it's not training anymore sometimes. You're still mentally sometimes in training mode, so you need that neurological rest that allows your body to rest and recover. So even something as simple as that. And then so if you have outside drama, if you have this, you have that, like there's a lot of things that really go in, you know, that are intertwined with that. And it's funny because I'm gonna mention something that I think is really big, and I hope all these young fighters listen to me on it, talking about neurological rest, is social media. I think it's the Achilles heel. I think it's the Achilles heel. And when people ask me what's different about the fighters of before to the fighters of today, and I think you're in the last section of that generation that didn't grow up with social media as much as the latter mm-hmm. part of your career, maybe the championship run of your career.
Yeah, towards the end. Yeah, you know, I ain't gonna lie, man. That was too much on social media.
It was social media, you know, like, and that, and you know, I remember, like, I mean, after the fight that's behind me, you know, like, you know, the Dutchinian fight, that's kind of when social media started really blowing up. Mm-hmm. And you were already a champion by the time you got on. And so now it's like, I think there's a couple of different things. I think a lot of fighters, you know, get into their heads because of social media, you know, and don't really, you know, they lose a lot of time on it. They don't get that neurological rest. They spend a lot of time worrying about what people say, you know, people's approval on social media, or they make a name for themselves on social media and they're not necessarily ready. And so then they get like, you know, so then they look at all these things. And I think that social media is really a big Achilles heel to this mental thing. Imagine like back in the day, like when, as I remember being in camps of Big Bear, and you didn't have anything to do but sit there and talk boxing or watch boxing videos.
In other words, it's training. It's training for a fighter, bro. Like, you know, something like, I get what you're saying, but different times, just different generations, bro. Because, I mean, and I'm going to put him as an example. If Ryan Garcia was not the sensational YouTube, the YouTube sensation, would people be talking about him? No.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
not so much. He became famous because of the social media, you know, because of the little flurry that he does on YouTube, Instagram, it's his looks. Yeah. But you are right. Like, you know, different times, different generations, you know, now people are not so much. Well, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of these fighters are not so much concentrating in their training or, you know, the recovery part, as we were talking about. Exactly. You know, they're more on like, all right, well, I'm done training. Oh, and now I got to do this video. Now I got to, you know, I got to go see this celebrity. Now I got to, you know, I'm doing this YouTube, you know, like so many things.
Or even they share too much. They share too much and they give away a lot of who they are, and they give away their mental weaknesses, you know,
I see where you're going.
I see that all the time. I'm like, look, I know what this kid's thinking, you know, as someone that's been around the sport, you know, I know what he's feeling and know what he's thinking. I can see it. Like, I can see that weakness in his eyes. And then the other fighter got him, you know, like, you look for that one little thing, you know? And so I think
let me tell you guys, Luis Garcia is not just a conditioning coach. He is a great masseuse, man. He gives the best massages, man. I didn't even know that. He'll give me a good massage. Remember? Aside from that, he is a good cook. Aside from that, he great singer. He plays the guitar. Yo, my man's the full package. And just don't tell him to put you in the bathtub, man, because I had a bad experience. Remember? Oh man, we always joke about this, man. One time, for recovery, we wanted to do the what do you call it? The bathtub ice bath recovery. And I told Luis, like, yo, bro, like, I can't deal with cold. Like, that's one thing, bro. My hands are always cold. Like, I can't deal with cold, bro. Yeah. It's like, no, you'll be good, bro. It's part of it, you know, for the swelling of your body, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, cool. I get in. Bro. No lie. How many ice bags did you dump in that?
It was only like two, man. The water was like maybe 52 degrees, you know.
Yeah, like, long story cold, short, guys. I was dying, man. Yeah. I can't, I got my ass out of there, man. Like, he had to get blankets. Like, man, he it was crazy, man. But again, one of the best trainers out there, Luis Garcia. And Luis, one thing that you know, that Luis Garcia sticks out the most from the rest of the conditioning coaches, is, we know what I talked about early on, is that, you know, you practice the sport. You know the sport, bro. Like, you are one of the few, not too many, got a good eye as a trainer, not just a physical trainer, but as a boxing trainer, bro. You're like a good boxing trainer. You could see things, like you mentioned, about a certain fighter, and you see things like you could set up a fighting plan for a fighter prior to a fight, because you study these fighters, man. You know, you study, you do your homework, you know, like if I'm going to fight someone that is, use the ring well, guess what, Abner, we're going to work a lot on your legs, we're conditioning, because you got to pressure this guy. Like, he studies the fighter. He just doesn't get you, like we talked about it, physically, because anyone can do that. Like, yo, do 100 pushups, do 100 sit-ups, boom, get you yoke, protein, like, get you physically ready. But not only that, you got to get me physically, mentally, and, I mean, you know, just everything ready, man. And Luis is all of that. Talk to Luis about you know, just having that vision as a conditioning coach, you know, seeing things.
Well, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, we got to train specifically towards the fight. You know, hey, what are the demands of the game plan, and what does your fighter have, like, naturally, and what are the things we need to add to that, you know? And I think a lot of that is studying video, because as much as I study the other fighter and talk to the boxing coach, you know, I look at your fights too, you know, as a fighter, and say, hey, man, like biomechanically, like, these are some of the things that are missing. So these are some of the things that he needs to work on. This is what we need to do. And that's also important as well. So that gives me a lot of insight as to how we need to train for that fight, you know? So, so yeah, man, you need to, basically, like you said, you need to do your homework, you know? And
yes.
And a lot of conditioning coaches don't. It's just about, like, hey, making sure that guy looks good on the scale so that they can get their kudos. Oh my God, he looks amazing. I mean, you know, talking about recent fights, I mean, this past weekend, Crawford knocked out,
Brooks. Cal Brooks.
I mean, you got Cal Brooks, and he said he's in the best shape of his life. And yeah, but you couldn't take, you know, his chin wasn't.
I mean, you could train the chin too, but you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And especially if you're going against one of the best, if not, you know, second and best next to Canelo, pound for pound, Terrence Crawford. Yeah. But exactly. Luis, you know, you know the conditioning, you know the nutrition. You know, tell the audience, the people listening, tell them a good diet. Right now, you know, during this quarantine, we all gained that quarantine weight, man, that COVID weight, as we call it. We all did. We all did, man. No lie. Listen, you know, stuck in at the house, just thinking about stress, bro. Because at the end of the day, people are stressed. People don't know what's happening. People, like, you know, sometimes with stress comes, you know, a lot of eating. So, you know, good diet, you know, simple diet or simple training techniques or you know, that they could do at home. What do you recommend? Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, the diet is just, I mean, knowledge is power, you know, and so understanding that, you know, at the end of the day, it's a calorie game, you know, and so if you eat a certain amount of calories, you know, you got to burn a certain amount of calories, you got to put in the work. So that's really kind of what it is. So, I mean, that one's just like a pretty much a black and white thing. So, I mean, so just focus on learning that. I mean, just knowledge is power behind that. And it's just like, know like how many calories in a banana. You know, it's like, you know, 107 calories, you know what it contains. And I mean, now, I mean, a lot of people have the time to do it. So it's like, I mean, it's like, what do you, it, your body, it, I mean, people don't take the time to like learn these things. And it dumbfounds me because it's your body. That's the one thing that, I mean, you know what you're putting in your car, like, you know, you're putting this much octane in it or whatnot. This gas is not going to be good for your car. Or your car needs oil, it needs this kind of oil, but you're not willing to learn that for your body, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So I think at the end of the day, just kind of look at calories and understand that, you know, like understand what those triggers are. You know, for me, it's saying sometimes I get anxiety because I'm home or you know, and that's my trigger to eat or whatnot. But on the flip side, you know, the exercise portion of it, you know, how many calories you're putting in, how much is your body outputting, you know, and for us, you know, going back to a little bit about boxing, it's you know, and I know I told you this, you know, we don't diet and work out, we eat and train, you know, and it's different for an athlete. You know, you have to eat towards your goals. You know, you have this performance you need to do, and you need this many calories to obtain that kind of performance, you know, and you know, and so, you know, obviously not for some fighters that, you know, get overweight or, you know, between camps, but for us, that was never an issue. And I thank you for that. But I think as individuals, you know, that are not athletes, sometimes we get so in the mindset of saying, hey, we need to go to the gym and that's the only place we can get a workout. I mean, but no, a lot of us have, you know, can take walks. I mean, can go for running on the street, can do lunges across our living rooms, across our driveways, across everything else, you know, do, you know, plyometrics, you know, there's a lot of great workouts on YouTube, you know, and obviously start with the basic stuff. I mean, sometimes, you know, like, you know, you've been sitting on the couch for a while. So start by stretching, start by taking a walk every morning, start, you know, and don't knock yourself for, hey, it's not this level of workout. Cause it's happened to me where, you know, we talked a little bit about my training. And it's just like, man, I'm used to lifting. I'm used to boxing. I'm used to doing all these different things, you know, every day.
Yeah.
And now I haven't been able to do that. And it's just like the minute that I start to try to do it, it's just like, man, that workout was terrible. And, you know, I get down on myself about it, but, you know, you have to understand that these are different times and, you know, they call for, you know, different measures and we got to be understanding, you know, and it's, and be understanding of ourselves and not be hard on ourselves, especially about stuff like that. So just doing something. And a lot of times, you know, and I've said this even to clients where they told me, well, I got to be home. I can't always make it to the gym. I'm like, well, you don't have to, like, you, I want you to come to the gym. You know, when I was early in my training days, you know, when I was training a trainer at a gym, and I'm like, well, you can come to the gym twice a week, right? Yeah. Okay. You know, on the weekends, do you have a lawn? How many cars do you have? Well, I do have a lawn and I do have three cars. Well, why don't you mow your lawn and wash your three cars and maybe do some pushups in between, you know, each car. And that's it. That's your workout for the day, you know, and that's
you're killing itself, calories while doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So fire your gardener. Wash your cars and play with your kids. I mean, I got a 3-year-old. Yeah. Oh, play with him for a few hours. That would tire me out too. Yes, you know, sir. So So I think a lot of the times, you know, we look at workouts as being just like very linear and saying, hey, I got to do a bench press and that's my workout, or I got to do this workout at the gym. But no, man, like I think fitness is just about moving. Like shadow box, we talked, you know, how many times did I not say, Abner, shadow box 15 rounds.
15
you know?
Rounds,
and,
yeah.
And that'll be your workout, you know? And yeah. How many times did I not shadow box 15 rounds and that was my workout? Yeah. You know, and or 20 even, you know, you're not taking any impact, you know, it's low on impact. It's great for your body. You're moving your legs. I mean, it's geared towards something and it's intense. I mean, you shadow box for 15 rounds. Trust me, A, you're going to be tired and B, you're going to be sweating and it's a lot of calories too.
Yeah. There's definitely a cardio way of, you know, training, shadow boxing. And then, hey, on the flip side, you won that fight, you know, whoever you are punching in the air.
I know, right?
Guess what? He took a beating.
I know he always took a beating, man. I never lost one shadow boxing fight, bro.
And if you did, man, just hang him up, man.
Hey, I'm not gonna say anything about that or any parking lot fights either.
Oh, man. Luis Garcia. Hey, Luis, man. Tell people, how did Luis Garcia get into, you know, being a conditioning coach and into boxing?
Well, early on, I went to school. I have a master's degree in sports kinesiology. For all my USC people out there, what's up? That was my start. But I think at that time, I didn't know anything. You know, I think when I talked about earlier, hey, going to school and stuff, I think my saving grace was, you know, meeting some fighters early on, you know, like Ponce de León, which you ended up knocking out, Valero.
Great Edwin Valero, yeah.
I forgot
that put him in your resume.
Exactly.
You got to say I trained Edwin Valero, rest in peace. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously getting to, you know, lucky and spending a little bit of time in camp with Oscar and seeing, you know, kind of some of the things that he trained and learning from Robert Garcia, which is not no relationship to the boxing coach.
Right. You know, Mike Conchano, did you train Mike Conchano?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you want to add that one to your list because he would always come in heavy, bro.
Nah, I actually all the fights that him and I worked, we didn't come in heavy. We made weight. I think the first fight that he did without me is with when he lost against La Llena Barrios. Mm-hmm. And he got knocked out. I had one fight after winning the WBO championship, or WBA, which I don't remember the one of the two. But that was actually him winning his first title was actually the first world championship, you know, that I won, you know. And must have been 21, 22 at the time. And I was still finishing my master's degree. So that was kind of something cool. And not until like years later, you know, I think that I really figured it out, you know, maybe in my mid-20s. Even after my master's degree, that I understood what I had to do in the sport, you know, in terms of like getting someone in shape for a fight and everything and all the intricacies of it, you know, and mainly like I think early on and understood the recovery aspect of it, and that was huge. And, you know, talking about like fighters that even and it's funny, like he just even at a level that he was, you know, looking at, you know, Andre Ward, I think he was the most complete, you know, guy that trained and recovered like you wouldn't believe, you know, and that guy put in the work, you know, not only in the gym, but
I was witness to that. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But at home too, man, that guy, I mean, I think most of the time you had to, you know,
zero distractions.
You know, you had to pull the reins on him and say, hey man, like you've done enough, man. You just gotta, now you gotta go home and I gotta do a little bit more. And I'm like, no, man, you've done enough. You know, like you don't need to keep doing this. You know, it's like, it's not going to get you any better. You know, you've actually kind of hurting yourself. And I think it showed up in the first cold of fight when you didn't have the legs under him because he had injuries.
That's true.
And a lot of those are just overtraining injuries, you know, and not that he under recovered. That guy just overtrained and he couldn't recover.
I want to say, you know, something that I remember right now that I want to share this little story. And you remember this. We used to train with Virgil Hunter. You know, we trained with Virgil Hunter for one fight. And at the time it was, you know, obviously Andre Ward, would, you know, that's his number one trainer. And Andre Berto were there. But the thing that's stuck in my head is that, you know, we all had different times of training, obviously respecting our times.
Right.
And moment. But Andre Ward will get there around the same time we would and shadow box. I would finish my workout and he would still be shadow boxing.
Yep.
Like that guy, like in his zone, like it's like he would not talk to anyone. He would just be in the ring shadow boxing, shadow. I'd be like, I'll still be working out. I'd be done with my workout. I'm like, hey, all right, bye guys. Guy would still be shadow boxing, man. So I mean, yeah, I was definitely I'd witness to this man's
you hit one of the like most beautiful points that I think that a lot of fighters are missing, and that's one. You know, when I worked with Ward, one of the things I took away from him was him that shadow boxing, and he would tell me, hey, I get him ready, wrap his hands, and he'd go in there and start shadow boxing, and he'd just be like, tell me when it's 15 minutes. Like, okay, 15 minutes. Okay, help me change my shirt. And then he'd go another 15 and tell me 15 minutes after this. And then this would be like an hour long thing, you know, shadow boxing, nonstop. And it wasn't really, most of it really wasn't fast. It was maybe 75% speed, but you can just feel him thinking. And it didn't matter who was in the room. I don't care if it was Marshawn Lynch, Kaepernick was in the room sometimes, like you name it, like guys would come there to see him. If HBO was there, it didn't matter who was in the room. That guy was dialed in and you couldn't break his focus for anything in the world. And a lot of times that's huge because, you know, you're learning, he's learning. He's walking it through. He's visualizing.
He's definitely visualizing the fighter in front of him. Yeah, that you could tell.
Exactly. And you couldn't break him. And so sometimes fighters tend to lose focus, you know, whether it's sparring, you know, whether it's in the fight, you know, it's just like, there's so much going on. There's so much emotion behind all these things. And sometimes you got to train for that, you know, and sometimes guys don't train for that. You know, they don't train themselves mentally. It's just like, no matter what's going on around here, this is what I got to do, you know, and you can just see him visualizing in, within that focus. So once again, you know, even going back to, you know, even regular people at home, it's just like that shadow boxing is something that if you want to be a good fighter, like you got to shadow box a lot. So if you want to, you know, so if you want to even take that away and have that fighter body or that fighter mentality, you know, get in your garage, get in your empty room, move your furniture around, move your feet a little bit, you know. And that's it, by moving the furniture.
That's a workout.
Yeah, exactly. Move the furniture and clean underneath the couch too.
Cochinos. Oh my God.
But, you know, shadow boxing is huge. Shadow boxing is huge, you know. So for people, you know, in general, and I kept me in shape for many years. You know, for boxers, you know, all your young fighters, Can you do that for 30 minutes and without distractions, no matter who's in the gym, you know? Right. That's a huge one, man. It's a huge one.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I want to say is that one thing that stuck, but always is going to be stuck. I remember from you, obviously, you getting me always ready for all my fights. I can't remember what fight I got tired. And I didn't get tired in any other fights. I would always be in top shape. And anyone can, you know, anyone goes sees my fights and they always tell me like, bro, you were always in good shape. And I owe it to this man, Luis Garcia. And aside from that, he never, despite him knowing a lot about boxing, he never tried to step on anyone's toes, you know, talking about the coach. Like, no, he would go in there when he needed to. And he would ask me like, hey, Abner. So communication is key, obviously. And that's why he would always have a great communication with the coach. Like, hey, Abner, could I say something? Oh, he will ask the coach, hey, coach, could I tell Abner something? Like, because we had that connection already, you know. Hey, Abner, you know, use that jab a little bit more, man. You got a good jab. Hey, Abner, you know, when you go in there, and you know, I remember this, when you throw your body shots, you know, make sure you pivot those body shots, but at the same time, like, clench your legs, like, you know.
Bend your knees. Bend those knees.
Bend your knees. Bend those knees, and you're screaming, bend those knees.
Exactly.
And, you know, walk the ring. Like, not too many conditioning coaches can step in and say that.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they do, like, you, like, bro, like, I'm not kissing your ass. I'm like, yo, but these are just, I'm talking about experience that I live, man. I'm a bit 4-time world champion, 3 division, and this man has been in all of them. He's the reason. And I just want to say, Luis, thank you. I've always said that, you know, I started basically my career with you and I want to end it. A lot of people have been asking me if I'm going to be coming back. Abramides is coming back next year. And I hope that, you know, Luis can be part of that journey of my comeback fight. And basically, you know, hopefully my first 2 more fights or my last fight. But Luis, thank you for your time. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for for, you know, being a great ambassador for the sport, a great guy. You've done good for yourself, bro. I'm really proud. People, make sure you guys follow my friend, my conditioning coach, Luis Garcia, at, give me your social media.
Where can they follow you? Luis Garcia, 33. Pretty simple, man. And thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the kind words, Admir. You know, I know we've always had love for each other and a lot of mutual respect, you know, professionally for each other and also as friends and pretty much family. So I thank you for all that stuff, you know, but it's been a true pleasure working with you. And you know, and being part of your team and being part of all this stuff, man.
And another one key that I taught, that I learned from him. And guys, young guys, old guys, whatever, listen, key in boxing and also life, your stress. Breathe, Abner, he would tell me. And this shoe, man, I would, you know, you get caught up in a moment of, you know, of exchanging punches. You know, your heart rate goes up, your intensity goes up. You're out of that, Abner, breathe. Control your breathing, you know. You would tell me that, bro. Like, you know, you gotta remember that. So key in conditioning and in training is knowing how to breathe.
And yeah, no, it's huge. And that's one of the things that people don't understand. You know, you go in there and you get in these exchanges and it's back, forwards and backwards. And sometimes they last 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. And, you know, your heart rate elevates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you breathing in between? And you hold your breath. Sometimes a lot of fighters tend to hold their breath as they're throwing those punches, or just let all their breath out. And they're just gasping for air. And it's like, it's like, you got to be able to find your spaces, even within the exchanges, to breathe. And then when you get done with that exchange, find your place to breathe, you know, whether it's walking the ring and having your distance, or just sometimes you got to hold on to the other fighter, you know, and you got to break that time, you know, and spend your time. Like think about Floyd. He doesn't fight 3 minutes of every round.
No, nope.
He didn't do that. He throws three, four good combinations around and he walks the entire ring. And what does he do? He just controls the pace of the fight, you know, and he does it. Because he's older now and he can, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly, you know? So it's a beautiful thing to watch. So once
you get to that level. And I can sit here and talk to you all day and, you know, so many things that I learned with you, man. And I appreciate you, man. Thank you, Luis Garcia. Thank you for being on the hook with Abner Matas. Thank you for your time. Everybody listening, thank you guys.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for listening to On the Hook with Abner Matas. And remember, tell all your friends about the new podcast and to subscribe from wherever they are listening from so they won't miss this or any of the episodes. Follow me on all platforms at Abner Matas. Until next time.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody off. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
And should be 2-0 and is! What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
Golden Goal. Soccer stars and the moments that made them on Blue Wire.